it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our question, why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
We just have a comment here from the YouTube stream, if you will. It says, I went camping, ate only jerky, drank no water. Got so constipated. Well, I squatted over an anthill at 3 a.m. Ants attacked. I fell pants down. Stood in poop. Then they had drink water.
Yeah.
That is a good call, man. That is a good call. Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Hey, I just want to say thank you guys for Saturday.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm the guy that was in the neck collar.
Oh, right.
Saw you.
Only on Tylenol. I thought for sure they'd have you hopped
up.
We had
so many injured listeners yesterday. It's like a walking dead.
Oh, yeah. I ended up getting pictures with the Elk Plain Drifter, with the Ginger Midget, Mrs. Amy. So I got to meet a lot of people. It was really cool.
Nice.
I did appreciate the Ginger Midget rocking the eye patch with the word Reno written on it.
Yeah. She looked at me and goes, do you see the eye patch? Like, well, yeah, it's an eye patch.
Why are you wearing that? You're going to hurt
your
vision.
Wore it just for you, Miles.
That's right.
All right. So anyways, when I was growing up, we used to go cliff diving at the rock quarries.
How high are these cliffs?
You had like one that you could jump off that was like 20 foot, one that was about 35, and the highest one was about 45. And so we'd all go out there in the summertime and go jumping and have fun and all that stuff. And my brother's girlfriend would never do it. And finally, one day we talked her into it, and we got her up to the highest one, about 45 feet. And we made everybody lined up at the path that she had to run and got her all talked into it. She's psyched up and ready to go. And she takes off running. And at the very last minute, she grabs the very last guy at the edge of the cliff and decides she doesn't want to go. And instead of him getting dragged off with her, he just pushed her off.
All right.
And she landed in about 3 feet of water.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, it was all silty and muddy and everything else. So she hit and went up to her knees in mud and basically landed on her butt. Didn't get hurt, not a scratch.
That's amazing.
Really?
But, yeah, she would never do it again.
Damn. Well, at least she did it once. Mm-hmm. My son did this month and a half ago, toward the end of August, whatever. A buddy of his, a couple of them went down. And so I'm at work, and he says we're going swimming. That is what he sells me on this in the morning. Then I get a text that says we're cliff jumping. And I'm like, what the F is he talking about? So the mother that was there keeping an eye on him, she's sending me videos throughout the day of them jumping off this cliff. And every video is a little bit higher, just like this guy's saying. You know, you build your courage up. That's what I felt like a parent, right? Because I'm texting my wife, like, are you seeing these effing videos? She's like, yeah, I've seen them. I'm like, I'm kind of freaking out because I'm aware. And I'm just watching his ass jump. And I mean, I just, the water did not look deep.
What body of water?
I'm not sure. Somewhere south of here, I cannot remember the name of it. I may remember this guy's talking, because I guess it's a place that people go specifically to do it. And then, so they get home, he was fine, you know, him, all of his buddies. But he said, yeah, at one point we're jumping, and there's a slightly higher peak that they're debating jumping off of. And it's like this weird guy shows up, strips down to his underwear, because he doesn't bother to bring trunks, looks at us and says, oh, man, some people have died jumping off of this one, and then jumped the hell off.
Yeah.
So I was like, did you guys jump off of that one? He said, not after that.
Well,
with
lakes,
going to.
Lakes usually pretty good. It helps that you need somebody that knows the area.
Yeah.
But like with rivers and stuff too, the rivers change. So sometimes the hole was deep enough that you could jump into them, and now it's not.
Yeah, this was a river. Yeah. Like I said, everything about it I didn't like. But dude, I didn't say anything. I saw all the videos. When I just saw him, I was just happy to see him in one piece. I'm like, all
right,
cool.
The best one, years ago, right? We're up at Summer Meltdown. It's Saturday. We're on the river, right?
All
right. So there's this bend, right, on the Stillaguamish River in Darrington. Everybody knows it. So everybody's from the festival, but there's also kind of like back ways you can just come into the river.
All right.
So people are on this rope swing, and there's a big hole in the middle. But as you get out, it gets shallow quicker. So me and my buddies are sitting on a log, right? This guy comes over, and he's got on, like, a hard hat, but, like, the round one. I guess it's for if you're a lumber.
Yeah.
So he looks at us and goes, think about jumping in. And I go, hey, dude, just so you know, I know it looks deep right here, but it's only, you know, it's pretty shallow.
Yeah.
And he just takes off his hat and goes, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Tosses the hat. Miles does a belly flop at about like a foot of water.
Did he know that? So he was just...
I told him twice, and I wasn't sober, to say the least. And I went, hey, man. And he's like, you got to do what you got to do.
Was so he okay?
He was fine. He was completely embarrassed because the whole beach went, ooh.
Yeah.
And then everybody started laughing at him. And can you imagine after being that cool and going, do what you got to do, and then you got to do a push-up and just stand up out of a foot of water?
Jesus.
I mean, he just walked off in shame.
Dude, I told that place I'll show you pictures of Nick's in Negril, Jamaica. So they have a bar and they have a cliff. You can jump off of it.
Yeah.
So I jumped a couple times. You go and you get a beer, and you're like, all right, I'm going to go back and cool off, just like you would at a pool.
Sure.
You know? So I'm probably two or three back in line, and the guy goes, hold up, get out of the water. I think I've told you guys this. There was a shark that was swimming in the cove. And so we wait. I go back down to the table, drink some more of my beer. I figure they're going to give the green light. I walk back up there. There's no one in line. Perfect. The guy goes, okay, I think we're okay, but I'm going to go check. So he dives in head first. First of all, it's too high to dive. He just, no problem, like Superman.
Yeah.
Flies through the air. He dives in, and he's swimming underwater, back and forth. He didn't come up for like 60 seconds. He swam all the way to the end of the cove and goes, yeah, man, he's way out there. And I'm like, he's like, I saw him, but he's way out there. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and go. So I'm like, hell, I just ran, jumped real quick. I swam so fast to that ladder, man. I mean, I was just booking it. I mean, that shark was like 200 yards out.
Doesn't matter.
But it was just amazing, like how far he could swim and look and see and realize. And he was swimming toward where the shark was.
What's amazing, in spite of his ability to do that, is that he chooses that to see if he can go find a shark.
Correct.
Even if I could, like, I'm not doing that.
He looked like, I mean, underwater, man. He was flying. I was like, dude, look at this guy go.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you doing today?
Hola.
A short story.
All right.
I know how this is going to end.
Between 85 and 1990, I served in the Navy on the East Coast. We, about 86 or 87, we were doing patrols in the North Sea up by the Soviet Union and Scotland and all that above the Arctic Circle. There was an oil rig that had a fire and ended up blowing apart and killed 169 people in the North Sea.
Jesus.
We did rescue missions on that oil rig to help the people out of the water that was like 35 degrees.
How many people work on those things?
I would guess that there's probably 200, but like I said, it just killed 169 people.
Jesus.
Did they have life rafts or anything? Were they prepared for that?
They've got the, you know, the little tugs and everything else, and we picked up one. And they're supposed to be bright orange so that you can see them and all that. But the one that we picked up, pulled alongside the ship, the people were dead and the whole thing was charred black.
Damn, man.
But and they're big. I mean, they're like monster things. They're 300 feet off of the water. They're probably 2 football fields by 2 football fields. Just giant. I'm sorry?
So they must have had a big explosion.
Yeah, it was some kind of a fire, some kind of explosion. It was unreal. I mean, I have never seen anything like it. And there was numerous platforms around it, but this one was just, it was big. It was yellow and black because it was obviously burnt. And 3/4 of it was gone. It was in the ocean in the water and everything.
Did you actually see the explosion, or you guys got the call that it happened?
We got the call. We got the SOS from the platform itself. It took us about 7 or 8 hours to get there at as fast as the ship would go that I was on. And so it just, I mean, we were hauling butt all the way there, and just devastation, complete chaos, just all kinds of things. And there was posts everywhere around us.
What were the people, what were the survivors saying as far as the ones you were able to pick out of the water?
Holy crap.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's amazing 7-8 hours if they were in the water at 35 degrees that they even, made it more than a half an hour.
That's the thing. I mean, if you hit the water in 35 degrees, you're dead in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, right.
You may or may not know the answer to this, but if you get a gig working on an oil rig, like, what is the shift? Are you there for 3 weeks? Are you there for 6 months? You have any idea?
I have no idea. I can imagine it's probably a month on and then like 2 weeks off. Those guys are making bucks. They got to be making bucks.
But isn't it also to a penal colony, essentially, from what everything that I've heard?
Yeah, the guy's willing to work out there.
Yeah. So I would assume that it's something like that. You guys know nothing. So anyway, thanks for all the communication. Have a great day. Love you guys. Love the show.
Thank you, man. Yeah. We appreciate it.
All right, quick question. You get your choice. You can work on an oil rig. You can work in the Antarctic, or you can work on an Alaskan fishing boat.
Antarctic.
I'm taking Antarctic.
You can be inside. Whatever you got to do, I'll do it.
And I hear nightmares about that, too, because they have to do all this kind of like training for emergency preparedness outside. Obviously, you want to avoid that, but I'm just like, man, of those three things, I'm taking Antarctica.
I think and I know how hard it is, but just because it's a shorter amount of time, I'll go crabbing.
You're going crabbing? Man.
I don't want to be out on that rig forever, for a long time. And then I think those Antarctica jobs, like, you got to be there for months on end.
You got to be there for months.
You can't land
the plane. That's what makes the crabbing or fishing so tough, is that you got to get it all done in like 3 weeks, so you're basically not sleeping or for however long the season is. And I'm obsessed. I watch that show all the time.
I know you do.
So I'm like, I don't know that at 44 I could still do it, but I'm like, if I had to pick one, I would take that one.
Really? Nah, I'm taking Antarctic. Although, was it earlier this year, I think, no one's been really clear about what went down in Antarctica, but one of the people there, keep in mind,
lost his mind.
It's a limited number of people, but one of them, something was going wrong is kind of all they would really say. And you would get little trickles out like, well, I believe like he armed himself with a knife and like holed away in this one room, then he's threatening other people, but they keep radioing like, yeah, we know you're not scheduled to show up, but like, seriously, man, you got to come get,
we got to get this guy off here.
But this went on for weeks, and I'm like, that's bad, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is bad.
Yeah.
But I'm still taking that over the crabbing boat or the oil rig.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess there's no bears or nothing, but like,
there's just the brutal freaking cold.
I'm just imagining there's just a knock at that door, and like, do we answer?
You can, because it's covered in snow.
I'm not answering.
Most of the time they're down there, that you can't even walk outside.
No,
and when you can, that's why it's so hard to get supplies in. They had a plane 2 weeks ago that had to do like some crazy ass landing in the dark when the wind wasn't blowing.
Right.
So they landed at night to get somebody out of there who needed medical attention.
Probably that guy.
And, I mean, this guy, you know, like, this would be something you would base a movie on. As far as just how crazy, heroic, there's no lights on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
You need to land this. So you have people out there with, like, flashlights and stuff.
Great.
Like, here we are. Like, can you see us? Land this way.
Right.
And he did. And he took off. And he got the guy out of there.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.